Gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and 9M FY23 conference call of Cupid Limited. As a reminder, all participants' line will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phones. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Omkar Prakash from Cupid Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Cupid Limited, I would like to welcome you all for attending the Quarter 3 FY24 earnings conference call today. By now, I assume that most of you have seen the financial results along with the press release we had published yesterday. I will go over a couple of highlights from the third quarter results. The revenue from the operation was about 40 CR, which was 16% higher than the second quarter of FY24. And in terms of the net profit after tax, we were 73% higher than the second, as compared to the second year, second quarter. The one main point to note here is that the sale of female condoms were only 1 CR during the third quarter because of the major breakdown in the laboratory apparatus back in South Africa, resulting in delays, significant delays in the export of female condoms. And because of that, we had to stockpile that material at our factory in Nasik. The net result of that was that our inventory level as of December 31st had gone up to 23 CR. Now, looking at the fourth quarter, we are projecting a top line of between 50 and 55 CR, and female condom sales are expected to be approximately 21 CR. Now, in terms of the exports, we were 89% of our sales were exported during the third quarter, and only 11% were in the domestic market, which included both the B2C sales as well as the sales of the IVD sticks. And you may have noticed that in the press release, we had made three other announcements on three major decisions relating to number one, bonus share issue, number two, share split of 10-1, and third is a issuance of non-convertible shares to FIIs, raising approximately 385 CR. So without further delay, I would like to now open the conference call for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephones. If you wish to remove from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
Are you and Mr. Aditya online now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm online.
Okay, good.
The first question is from the line of Omkar Gudharne from Shree Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. My question is regarding the warrants which have issued to the FIIs, around 385 crores. As you have already highlighted that you don't need any money outside, whatever money which is there in the balance sheet is sufficient for expansion of the new facility. So would like to know exactly what's the purpose of raising this 385 crores. I mean, you would be saying that for future need and all that, but I would like to know the exact reason for this. Any acquisition you are planning or anything else?
Yes. Hi. So we are looking at using a very small portion of these funds for working capital requirements. That is something I can definitely mention. But other than that, we are looking for a strategic acquisition outside India also, if not in India. And we'll be earmarking these funds for that purpose.
So this acquisition is related to the business which you are currently doing in terms of condoms or IVD or anything else apart from this you are targeting?
Condoms and IVDs.
Okay. Includes both, right?
Condoms and or IVDs, yes.
Okay. And I mean, when can we hear about this? I mean, any specific timeline you would be able to give for this acquisition?
Well, we have to make sure we use the funds for what it's the purpose for which we are raising them. We have clearly defined the purpose, and we also have oversight body making sure that we use the funds for what we say we're using the funds for.
Yeah, so the purpose of the fundraise is for the acquisition, right? Mostly for the acquisition. So that's what I'm asking.
Yes. I can't give you anything other than that we are making sure that we will use these funds for an acquisition. I can't mention which company.
No, I'm not asking for any company. I'm asking just what would be the timeline for this.
Or a timeline, but all our preferential say issuances, the funds which we are supposed to get will be received within 18 months.
Okay, so maybe we can expect something in a year or two, right?
Yes, we are working towards that.
Okay, and if you could, I mean, I know you won't be giving more about this, but I mean, what size of acquisition this could be, like how large it could be, what kind of opportunities it will open up because of this?
The opportunity something, an acquisition like this will open up is, it will increase our product line within the condom segment. Simultaneously, it will give us some faster approvals for our IVD segment. And because the target company has all those approvals. And apart from this, I can't share anything else.
Okay, more product you mentioned. What exactly more products you can talk about in terms of condom?
In terms of the condom market, there's a latex condom, there's a polyisoprene condom, and there's a polyurethane condom. These are the three products which are there in the condom market.
And so currently, you are not present in any of them?
We are only present in manufacturing latex condoms.
So with this acquisition, you would be adding two more types of condoms in your kitty?
Hopefully, yes.
Okay. Okay, all right. Just wanted to ask another question is that you have issued ESOPs to the employees. May I know these are to like the what second tier or third tier of the employee or like to the promoters or like what kind of ESOPs are this? And why the issue price is at 140 when the current market price is at 1750, 1800 and you have issued warrants to the FIs at around 1750?
So the issuance of ESOP, the board meeting took place in August of 2022. At that time, the board who issued the ESOP in which Mr. Omgat was a part of decided an exercise price of 140 rupees. And post that, we don't want to change the ESOP in any way, shape or form because there's been no material change in the company on the day-to-day functioning. So we have gone forward the issuance and we have we've been able to also get a agreement from the existing people we've issued the warrants to that they'll be letting go of 50% of the issuance and we'll be redistributing them to more employees within the company.
Okay, so this is to the first level management, second level management. What you can give color on that?
Key managerial personnel. This includes no promoters.
Okay, it doesn't include any promoters.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted a broad view on this. Say when you acquired the company, the total market cap of the company was around between 300 to 400 crore, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So now you are issuing shares worth around 400 crore. So what gives you the confidence to issue like 385 to 400 crores when the market cap of the company was around, let's say 6 months back or 6 to 8 months back, was the total 100% of that issuance?
Well, we have doubled down our efforts on focusing on selling female condoms to other geographies, other than the geographies we are selling to. We have started with a B2C presence in all the distribution channels in India. Simultaneously, we have brought about the idea of acquisition out of India also to our prospective investors who are going to be participating in the preferential share issue. And we have shared projections to make sure that they are in sync with our ideology to why they should participate in this preferential issue. So we are making many strides and jumps to make sure that we are able to garner sales and forward-looking numbers going forward to the best of our efforts.
So these investors are mostly financial investors, right?
What investments are you pertaining to? What
investments, I mean the FIs to whom you are issuing warrants, they are mostly financial investors, right?
Yeah, they are investors in the equity market, yes.
Correct. So there won't be any board position for them, right?
The board position comes about if any one of the FIs are holding 5% or more. None of them will be holding 5% or more.
Okay, so you have given around, you will be issuing around 22 lakh shares. So around how much equity dilution we can expect and like what's the percentage of this? Like which fund is giving how much money to you? You haven't specified that.
Yeah, we have close to 22 lakhs split amongst six funds. We will be sharing the names in the coming disclosures. And each fund will be having a dilution of 2 to 3%, like having an expendable share ownership of 2 to 3%. This is share ownership post dilution.
So this is mostly equally distributed, 22 lakh shares among all the six participants.
No, it's not equally distributed. Some are holding 4 lakhs, 3 lakhs, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So you will be making a disclosure about that, right?
Yes, we have to.
Yeah, correct. So, okay, we can expect that. Okay, for okay, fine. So I was asking about what kind of equity dilution it would take place because of this fundraise. So you are around raising around 400 crores. So how much equity will be diluted?
You can do the math. 22 lakh shares will be added to our pool of 1 crore 33.
Correct. So around 14-15% of dilution.
So, yeah, 15% of dilution.
Okay. And in terms of acquiring of the land parcel, where are we? I mean, what's the progress on that front?
We have acquired the land parcel.
Yeah, so, I mean, the timeline which you have given, say, in around 2 years, you would be commenced, you would have already commenced the new lines, right? That stays, right?
That stays, yes.
Okay, any other initiatives that you have taken in the last 3 months after the last conference call?
We have looked at expansion in other geographies via acquisitions, the simultaneous expansion not limited to other geographies, also India.
Okay, any update about US foray and where is the study at what level the study is going on?
Home, sir. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, could you please repeat the question?
I was asking, where are we in terms of the study which is taking place to foray into the US market?
I'm sorry, could you please repeat the question?
Yeah, the question is that we were doing a study to get into the US markets, right, for female condoms.
Yes.
So, where are we in terms of that study? At what level we have reached? When can we see the conclusion of that study, result of that study, and going and by that getting approval of female condom for US market?
The study is going rather slowly in South Africa. And also, our discussions with the U.S. FDA are still going on. They have raised many new questions, which we are in the process of replying. So I would say we are about 1 to 1.5 years away from the from any positive results from US FDA.
Okay, so can we expect something in, say, FY26, maybe?
Yeah, sometime in 26.
How certain you are that you will be getting the approval for this after completing the study, whenever that study completion takes place?
No, we are going through a very detailed evaluation process with the US FDA, and they have raised many questions. One of the important questions is that part of that study we are doing in South Africa should be done in US with US participants, which of course will be very expensive. So we are still discussing this issue with them.
Okay, thank you. Another question is on the sales front. So, I mean, when can we significantly see the sales going up? They are hovering around this 40-ish crore mark for last couple of quarters and years, I guess. Aditya, if you can answer this question.
Yes. we will be increasing our capacities in a staggered manner post this land acquisition, and also we'll be able to do it more rapidly post our acquisition targets end up getting closed, the deals getting closed for them. We are hopeful for that. So clarity I can give, in the coming two quarters, you will be able to see, at least by end of this year, 2024, 3 to 4 dipping lines being introduced, and thereby giving us a further capacity of close to 300 million units of male condoms. That will help and to augment our sales numbers also. Currently, we have 480 million units of male condoms being manufactured. Capacity of 480 million male condoms.
Yeah, so you ended FY23 with around 160 crores of sales. This year also, I guess it would be around the same level, give or take 5-10 crores here and there. So for FY25, like, how significant jump we can see in the revenues?
So
given all what you have mentioned.
I can talk clearly about FY24. Like, as of today, OMSA will also throw some more light on it. We have a lot of female condom sales which have not commenced for this entire financial year. So that will be dispatched by sales will be booked this quarter, January-April quarter. So you'll be able to see a very big push in sales from the female condom side, and that will help us contribute to a much higher patch of close to 15 crores and a top line of 60 to 65 crores by this quarter end.
Yeah, but just now Mr. Garg said that you would be targeting around 50 to 55 crores.
Hello, and sir. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
We request you that to return to the question queue for follow-up question, as the survival participants are waiting for their turn.
Yeah, I will, but the question is remain. It is unanswered, so I'll just request the management to address this and then I'll get back in the queue.
Okay, sir.
Yes, we do project conservatively 55 crores, but I see a order pipeline of 60 to 65 crores.
Okay, thanks. I'll get back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sharad Parke, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible? Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Good evening. What is the current order book of the company, and can you please split it out in terms of domestic and international market? Hello?
Hello? Yes, Om, sir.
Shall I repeat the question?
So the current order book is 80 crores, and for the domestic and international split, it would be 88% international and 85% to 90% international, 10% to 15% domestic.
Okay. In terms of revenue mix, how much do other reproductivity healthcare products of the company contribute?
Pardon?
In terms of revenue, how much do the other reproductive healthcare products of the company contribute?
Reproductive healthcare products. We just have one product in that segment, that is our pregnancy test kits and the IVF known as.
Okay. Okay.
Known as TP Show.
Okay.
So, and other than that, we are in the contraceptives segment with our male and female condoms.
Okay. And what is the competitor profile for IVDS?
Okay. Could you please elaborate more on that?
Means, what is your competitor profile?
Competitor profile
for IVD, for IVDS.
Well, we have several test kits. We have eight test kits at least, which we are currently we are undergoing clinical trials for two of them.
Mm.
That's primarily the malaria test kit,
mm.
as well as the pregnancy test kits, and four test kit trials for CE mark. We'll be getting our certifications in 2 to 3 years for CE mark and WHO. After getting WHO certifications, we'll be able to participate in GEMS orders in the, after 2 to 3 years. And when it comes to getting participating in any domestic state level tenders, we can participate by September of 2024 between September 2024 and May of 2025. And there are also a list of countries which will be participating in after 3 years of manufacturing experience by May of 2025. That will be pertaining to African countries and a few Latin American countries.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks. Best of luck for your future. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Chandra Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot for this opportunity. So I have two questions. First thing on this retail distribution we are planning in the Indian domestic market. So can you please elaborate on what all has been done in this area till now, and what are the plans so far? Can you give some details on how we are going about building the retail footing?
Regarding the retail foray, we have right now have a sales team in Pan India from the intensive sample in a we have zonal managers, we have area sales managers, we have sales executives. And they end up selling our product to all the different geographies in India. You have representatives in the North geography populated over there because they are very well versed because of the education levels of the customers over there is very high. So they are able to sell more product. Simultaneously, we have our zonal and area sales managers in our East and West. The product distribution is different. In North, we primarily focus on selling male and female condoms. Simultaneously, in the East, we focus on selling male and female, whereas West and South, we focus on selling male condoms.
Okay, and have we launched any new products as well? Or the existing product, and how many products we have, and what under what branding are we doing this?
So we are going to be bundling our product going forward. Yes, we'll be looking at getting deodorant sprays bundled with our existing products. We have got formulations for the same. And as of today, we are selling our product under name of Cupid only. We'll be seeing our product as Cupid Strawberry, Cupid Butterscotch, Cupid Vanilla, and our pregnancy test kits as Cupid Show.
Okay, so as of date, if I ask, you know, in how many retail outlets we would have reached by now, our products will be available, and as of date,
we've reached at least 1,000 retail outlets.
1,000 retail outlets, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so what is the plan going ahead? I mean, say in the next couple of years, what kind of reach can we expect in this?
In the next couple of years, the more money you spend in distribution lines, the higher the reach, and it is a very long process of trying to get big reach. We don't want to be unconservative and spend too much money on the retail segment and blow it up till we see good traction in these 1,000 stores we are in right now.
Okay, so these 1,000 are across the country, or any particular geography that is being targeted, like some kind of a test marketing?
As of now, the best test market is a northern territory of India.
Okay. And how much funds have you earmarked for advertising and promotion, or any plans to hire a brand ambassador or something like that?
No plans as of now to hire a brand ambassador. And we are working on a day-to-day basis to get funds allocated to it. It's not a big portion of our overall expenditure, which is less than 10% as of today.
Okay, fine. Yeah, now the second question is about this overseas acquisition that you have spoken about. So what kind of returns can we expect from this? Do you have any target sort of benchmark IRR or something that you have in mind?
So on the overseas acquisition, we'll be looking at first primarily increasing our product lines within the condom segment, because in India, you see primarily flavored condoms being sold.
Uh-huh.
Flavored condoms and dotted condoms and textured condoms. So trying to get condoms which are non-latex is a very big attribution to sales we do foresee in the future.
Okay. And this acquisition will be in developed market, or is it in Asia?
It is somewhere in Asia and out of Asia, like in other geographies where they make condoms.
Sorry? Asia? Sorry?
Geography. Asia is as of today, when it comes to manufacturing houses and manufacturing setups, Asia is the best place to be for condoms. And there are a lot of companies who operate in other geographies who have the manufacturing setup. We will be looking to buy a manufacturing setup rather than the brand.
Okay, more of manufacturing setup rather than the brand. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Yeah. I think that's all from my side. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dikshant from BD Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the great sort of guidance that you have been giving us for so long. I have two particular questions. One is on our operating margin. As you just mentioned that we would be increasing our sales rate now in the coming 2 to 3 quarters, what do you think our operating margins are going to be? Especially given that you would also millions capacity of your condoms.
So So our operating margins, as you can see, are in the low 20s. If you see year on year, we will be working towards getting them to 25% yet as we scale.
Okay. So our current this quarter's margin was around 31.5% age-ish, right?
Okay. When you mean to say operating margins, you're mentioning EBITDA.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Just let me just go on the numbers, please. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was talking about PAT margins. The EBITDA margin is 30.33%. Yes. Looking to get our PAT margins up over and above 25%, and our EBITDA margins will be best if we keep it above 35% to do so.
Well, my second question is on the cash conversion cycle. So, I mean, in the last phone call, we were discussing that this is a major focus for you. And, I mean, I'm sure that one of our major requirements while you acquired this business was better cash conversion cycles because our ROCs will improve there. So can you shed a bit of light on this, on how we have improved this so far and what kind of cash conversion cycle we can see by the end of this year? That's why.
So we are improving this as of today by increasing our list of suppliers. So simultaneously improving our terms with the suppliers. So that takes care of the inwards part. And when it comes to the outwards part, apart from a few key clients which we distribute to, that includes UN FPA, we are not pushing on them to improve their payment terms. We are happy with the payment terms because they have very ironclad contracts which they end up signing with us. Apart from them, any other distributor which has a specific order value below below a certain amount, we end up getting behind them to improve their payment terms.
I mean, Aditya, in order to just, you know, quantify this a little bit, our inventory days have been north of 200 days for the last 3 years. And since the last quarter, the management has been focused on the conversion cycle. So are we making our inventory days better? Are we making our payable days, as in the receivables from the clients, better? Quantify it with a little bit of numbers that would help immensely.
Yes, I can quantify the bit of numbers by saying that we'll be improving it by 20%.
So from 230-ish days, we can see a reduction of, let's say, around like 50 days, 40 to 50 days, something like that.
Yeah, 40 to 45 days, yes.
Sure. Okay.
The inventory days have been high because a lot of inventory for our female condoms was stuck up in those. So that's a very big reason why.
Yeah, you did mention this the last time, and thank you so much for the guidance. Just a few follow-ups, quick ones. One is on the current sales operations for our retail business. Glad to know that we have cross distribution. Could you sort of tell us that what are our repeat business right now, or is it too early on that data?
So we all our repeat customers are, like, all our big clients are still ordering with us. And
on the retail side, Aditya?
Sorry?
On the retail side, Aditya? Like the smaller business that we are just starting up right now.
Could you please repeat?
Aditya, I mean to ask, on the retail side, we have, you as you mentioned earlier during the call, that we have around 1,000 stores that we are catered. So could you just help us out with the repeat business there? Data there on what kind of ticket price is it per store? What is this 1,000 stores converting into as our revenue? How is it driving our revenue forward? And how is it driving our revenue till now?
It is not driving our revenue in any way to like highlight in any good way as of now. It's a very small part of our revenue. We've just started selling and to increasing our retail network from mid of December onwards.
Yeah,
it's been less than 2 months.
I mean, congratulations again on getting those first thousand, because I mean, you guys are doing great there. I saw a couple of products near my stores, so happy to know that you guys are improving there. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Our next question is from the line of Onkar Gurudare from Shri Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned that current order book is around 80 crores. I mean, what's the split between female and male condom, and till when you have to execute this 80 crores?
Out of the 80 CR order book, 30 CR is for female condoms and 50 CR for male condoms.
And by when we have to execute this order?
We are expecting some new orders in February from South Africa, Brazil, and Government of India.
And this South Africa, Brazil, and Indian government orders are for female condoms or male condoms, or both?
South Africa, we are expecting both female and male condoms. From Government of Brazil, we are expecting female condom orders. And from Government of India, we are expecting male condom orders. Plus, we have our regular customers from UNFPA and from the private sector as well. So we are expecting over the next 2 months, in February and March, a significant quantity of orders.
So as far as the Brazilian order and South African order, I mean, the tendering have already taken place, or where, at what stage it is?
No, the backlog was for female condoms, which I mentioned will be cleared in the fourth quarter to the tune of about 21 CR.
Correct. That is the backlog you are talking about. But just now you mentioned that you will be receiving orders from Brazil government for female and African government for both male and female. So I'm asking, these are the new tenders, and has the tendering already taken place by the governments?
We don't know the exact volume and the amounts of these pending orders.
Correct, but at least the... Hello? Yeah, I was asking whether the tendering has already taken place or not. Or, as you are saying, you will be expecting orders in February and March, significant orders. So that means by now the tendering must have already taken place, or would be taking place shortly, right? In order you to receive the orders.
For example, for South Africa, we are starting in the third year of the 3 year long-term contract, and we could be easily getting orders worth about 50 crores including both male and female condoms. In Brazil, we are expecting a tender to be floated for female condoms in February, and we are expecting an order of about 25 CR. And with Government of India, we have already announced orders worth about 15 crores. However, we are expecting one more order in next couple of weeks, which would be about 10 CR. And in addition to all these, we are getting regular orders from UNFPA, and I would expect 30 CR orders for the first quarter of FY25 from UNFPA, mostly for male condoms.
Okay, so for as far as the current quarter is concerned, the Jan to March quarter, you are expecting around 50 crores from Africa, 25 crores from Brazil, and around 10 to 15 crore from Indian government, right? So around 80-85 crore orders in the current quarter you are expecting.
Yeah, correctly, to be delivered over the next 12 months.
Correct, but you would be receiving the orders in the current quarter, right?
Yes.
Okay, the next question is to Aditya. Last time you had mentioned that around 160 crores of the sales, which you will be delivering at, say, end of FY24, you will be doubling it in the next 3 to 4 years, given the expansion plan which you have. So this was done after. Hello.
Hello.
I was asking, when you projected this, the acquisition was not planned, right? So after,
yes.
Now that acquisition is, you are planning to do the acquisition, I mean, what kind of sales you are looking at, given it's a big acquisition?
When it comes to an acquisition, whether it's in India or whether it's out of India, it will impact us very differently. If it's an acquisition in India, nobody in India is making polyisoprene or polyurethane products. Outside India, they are. So the entire sales outlook will change. We have to start looking at private players who are already selling such condoms out of India to be contract manufacturers for if we make acquisitions out of India. Whereas within India, we can look at government tenders in and out of India, as well as private players in and out of India, because there's a very big demand for latex condoms because of the constituents of latex as a polymer.
So what you are saying is that nobody in India is selling, neither manufacturing this type of condoms, right?
Nobody in India is manufacturing such condoms.
Okay.
PI or PU condoms.
Okay. But the selling is taking place.
The selling is taking place by their imports.
Achha, why imports they are taking place? And is it a big contribution to the overall selling of condoms, or like how much is the percentage currently in India?
It's very minuscule because of the price barrier, basically.
Okay, I mean, what difference does it bring to the table from apart from, if you look at the other condoms as compared to this condoms up, as compared to normal condoms?
Well, just looking at how the market receives this out of India is an indication where India's consumption would tend towards in the next 10 to 15 years, honestly speaking, towards such materials.
So this is like a more premiumization of condoms, is it like that?
Yes.
Okay, and like if you talk more, if you can talk more about this, I mean, where in Asia, like, this trend is currently playing out, if you can tell more about that.
Yeah, this trend is playing out in Malaysia, China, Thailand,
okay,
Indonesia,
I mean,
all these countries.
Okay, like, if you can compare it with, say, like how it was, say, 10 years back and how it is currently. So, if you can give a comparison of that in these countries, which you mentioned.
Well, they've been selling all, like, India is very price sensitive as a country for any form of consumer level. So nobody has introduced these condoms in India. On top of that, there are, if I'm not wrong, certain barriers to entry when it comes to manufacturing such condoms in India. That is why nobody has also. So, whereas out of India, the ballgame is quite different. People are ready to consume better, more premium prophylactic condoms in those other markets.
Yeah, but like if you can give an example, say for example in China, let's say 10 years back, if one condom of that kind was sold, now how many condoms are being sold currently?
I can't give any indication for China or any other.
No, I'm not asking you for indication. Whatever the already trend is there and whatever the real facts are there, I'm asking just that. Because you must have studied the trend in those markets, right? Before thinking about this acquisition.
I have, the only trends I've studied as of now is what are the sales of such companies who are doing job working for private clients in the EU and in the US. So those are numbers which have been shared by me in confidence, with me in confidence. I cannot disclose because that's the only business I'm concerned about. I'm not looking at selling such condoms in India per se, because as of now, those condoms garner a very high price as imports.
Okay. So, if you just exclude this acquisition
Hello, sir. Sorry, sir, to interrupt. Sir, there are people waiting in the queue.
Yeah, I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. After this question, this will be the last question for the day. Okay. Our next question is from the line of Rakesh from White Pigeon Investment.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Quantified in revenue and profitability terms, what are we expecting from the capacity expansion announced by the company in December?
So, in terms of the revenue expansion, we've already made a press release regarding it. We are expecting a top line of not 320, but close to 400 crores post finishing up with our expansion plan. And simultaneously, we're expecting an EBITDA of upwards of 100 crores.
Okay. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Haswal for closing comments.
So, yes. Hi, everyone. As we come to the end of this earnings call, I want to take a moment to extend my deepest gratitude to all our shareholders and employees. To our shareholders, thank you for your continued trust and investment in us. Your faith in our potential fuels our drives to innovate, expand, and excel. We are committed to delivering on our promises and maximizing the value of your investment. To our incredible team of employees, your hard work, creativity, and perseverance are the reasons we are able to celebrate our achievements today. Each of us plays an integral role in building our future, and I am profoundly thankful for the opportunity to work alongside everyone at QFIT. Looking ahead, we are excited about the opportunities and challenges that lie before us. Thank you once again, everybody, for joining our earnings call.
Thank you. On behalf of QFIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.